station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's April 18th. Where am I today?
I don't know.
Wow, Thursday already, man.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe it.
So,
good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Beautiful day outside.
It is actually really nice.
Yeah, it's like beach weather today.
Yes. Yeah. It is. I wish I had time to go do that. But I get a new phone today, so I'm really excited.
Oh, wow. You getting an iPhone finally? Or
No, but you know what? I found out I could because T-Mobile came out with the new iPhone.
Right.
And I got this message, you know, because I'm in Screen Actors Guild, SAG. So because I'm union, I get all these union benefits. And this email came through saying that I can get the new iPhone 5 for $150.
Wow, that's pretty
so
good.
So I thought about doing it, but then I thought my friend is giving me the T-Mobile the Galaxy S3.
Really?
Which is equivalent to the iPhone 5.
Yeah, that's a very good
It's the same thing. Yeah. So free, not free. I'm going to go with free.
Yeah.
So
and Android is not bad at all. You know, those are pretty good phones too.
Yeah, I really like it. It's the Samsung, or the Galaxy S3 is exactly equivalent to the iPhone. So.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. I'm going to get it today at some point.
Yeah. So, yeah. I know. You know, you get a product from Apple, you expect it to work well all the time and stuff. But you know what? My iPhone has given me a lot of trouble. It's like it freezes a lot.
Most people say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard so many people say that. It's like goes crazy on them or it starts playing songs like randomly everywhere. Yeah,
that's pretty shit.
And I like, you know, like the Apple products, but, you know.
Yeah, they are expensive. They're pricey, you know.
Right.
And you just tie down to them, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, so I'm glad you're getting the Android, you know.
Right.
That's cool. And it'll serve you well.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I mean, you like Apple products, though, right?
I do,
Mac,
I mean, I love my Mac. I really do, even though sometimes it irritates me. But I really do love it.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, so randomly, I'm getting all new things today, it seems like. I also am cleaning out my garage.
Yeah.
So I have decided to sell two, I don't know why, I have two AC units in my garage, but I do.
Yeah.
So I'm selling them today.
AC units?
AC in your units, garage. Yeah. And I don't know if that's that for you.
Yeah.
No? Oh. Okay.
In the kitchen.
People walking through.
Yeah. Hold on, Art. We'll bring you in just a second, but. The water guy is here. He's drinking water and
nice.
Just in the kitchen.
He's like, where do I go?
So I have to run the station while I'm doing the show as well. But this guy called at 7:30 in the morning with the water here, you know, and I'm like, what are you doing here so early?
It's
you
so
know?
Weird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They started their day really early and they don't tell you, you
right.
know. So that sucks. So I have to sort of like watch what he's doing.
No, I totally hear you.
Yeah, but
it's
that's
like
okay.
the crazy day today. Yeah, I have two AC units in my car right now.
In your car?
Like the one person's like, can you like come meet me at this intersection wherever? And I was like, normally I don't deliver. Mm. You know, I'm not a delivery boy, but I will be in that area, so I will come meet you today in that area. So don't. And then it was so funny. Like, do you have a dishwasher by chance? I'm like. What am I, like, gadget queen?
Yeah.
No,
well,
I don't.
Well, maybe they're thinking you're leaving the house and selling everything.
I have no idea. So, anyway, I'm going to go take that. And then the other person's, like, on my way out tomorrow, like, down to San Diego. I'm, like, stopping on the way and, like, meeting someone at some airport exit. I mean, at some, like, exit to, like, take it. I don't care. I just want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you know, they're a couple $100, so
good,
cool.
Yeah. It's good. Would you sell it on Craigslist or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Craigslist is amazing, you know? I mean, you can
get
rid of anything there and find things.
It's funny because I had a talk last night with my friends, and they were saying there's supposed to be a Craigslist TV show that was coming. I've seen it, like, some things about it. And one of the girls, like, they had, you know, they have their own show, Operation Repo. They mm-hmm. have their own, you know, TV, and they have a radio show podcast that they do out of the station. And it's who I do all my filming stuff with. So mm-hmm. I went down there to drop off. Okay, I'm like everywhere today. I need to drink some coffee, seriously. Anyway, my point was, there was a girl that was working on a show making money who left the show in order to do the Craigslist TV show. It's been 2 years now and nothing's come of it.
No show.
But they're saying how like Craigslist was started by a bunch of hippies.
Really?
And yeah, and they didn't want to make any money. They just really wanted it to be like a trade site.
Right.
And they've remained free. And I don't really know how they make money.
Oh, they charge for want ads.
Okay.
Yeah, $25 for want ads.
Got it. So it's not like they make much. They don't want to change the way Craigslist looks. They don't right. want to add ads. They want
I know,
to stay
and it
the
looks
same.
Like shit still, right?
Right.
But it does the job.
But
you
they're
know?
A bunch of hippies that live in some hippie community,
yeah.
apparently. And that's where the TV show was started.
Wow.
Or it's supposed
cool.
to be started, but yeah.
Are we waiting for a guest or something to call?
Huh?
Are we waiting for a guest to call today? No,
no.
Right? Okay, somebody's calling. Let's see who that is.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, speak to Cameron, please.
Okay, you
yes.
call into Cameron. It's not unusual for people to call into a live show and ask for Cameron. It's not the first time.
Yeah,
but no,
weird.
You're calling into the studio. Cameron is not here. You're going to have to email him or something.
That's
okay,
funny.
Well, I wrote a book called I Am a Jew from Egypt.
Uh-huh. Okay,
and
well.
I'm going to be at the Festival of Books, and Cameron called and left me a message on my phone that he
okay.
wanted me.
Okay, well, we're on air right now.
Well, yeah, well, he probably wanted you to call. Why don't you call this number tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the evening?
Why are we having
That's okay.
I'm like,
okay.
goodbye, Clay.
We got to go, man. But
you can call this number, the 203-0815.
Yes,
oh
call that tomorrow night.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Tomorrow at what time?
8 o'clock at night.
Oh my God, we're
okay,
on air, dude.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, you try to accommodate some people and stuff. But anyway, since we were interrupted, let's introduce our guest in the studio.
Oh, it's so like random.
I know. That's why I never answer the phone. You know,
yeah.
if I don't expect a call or something. But this happens. I don't know why this host tells people, this is the number, call me on that number, and they call into the show. On Friday, it happens every time, you know,
that
to other shows.
That is so annoying. Oh, my God.
All right, so let's bring in our guest. We have Art Torres in the studio.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Art.
Thank you, thank you.
And this is the second time you've been here, right?
I think it's the third time.
Third time. Yeah.
Well, and I actually have someone that's supposed to be meeting me here, so I guess he's lost. So it's actually funny that I'm early because I'm usually always late.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you
just want to know. One, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you're not very early, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know, I'm late.
You
that.
Got here in time. We didn't have to wait.
Are these the new studios?
Yeah.
These are the new studios.
These are
I'm just saying. That maybe it's like a rent a studio. This is like the real thing.
It's like a real thing. Do you see how hot this was? My coffee is so hot that I can't hold it.
Really?
So Art was like holding it so I could drink out of it.
Yeah, that was really nice.
It's hotter. It is so nice. It is hotter on the outside of this cup than it is on the inside.
Really? Huh?
Really weird.
Is it like metal or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's metal.
Well, I'm
it's
the idiot that poured coffee in
I was
metal.
Just going to say, I mean, that's metal. I mean,
well,
it's not a thermos. It's actually an eclipse.
It.
It's an eclipse.
It is. It's twilight.
That's why it's so hot.
That's why it's so hot.
What are you doing? Oh, you like Twilight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got a cup.
Exactly. I got it free. It's not like I paid for it.
Come okay.
on.
It's very nice.
I know. So how are you doing, Art?
I'm great. The reason I was here is I've recently opened a martial arts studio.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. My partner is Trevor Sherman. He's a martial artist of about 25 years, and I'm not sure where he's at. I think he's trying to figure out where we're at. But, anyhow, so it's a Woodland Hills. The reason I joined him is he used to be my daughter's martial artist almost 15 years ago, and when I lived in Lake Arrowhead. So
her instructor and stuff.
Yeah, but so by coincidence, as a matter of fact, here he is.
Yeah.
By coincidence, he's here. No, by coincidence, we've stayed in contact over the years, and a few months back, he decided to join partners, and very interesting guy.
Yeah. So how did you get it? I mean, what attracted you to that?
Well, I did martial arts all my life, you know,
being a
bounty hunter and the whole bit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I took martial arts for 14, 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did Aikido. It was a little different than what he instructs, but nevertheless, I thought it was a great time to get involved, because not only do we do martial arts, we do... We do fitness. We do grappling. We do, I mean, we do all kinds of stuff, which really, for example, my daughter, she's 12 years old. She's a little overweight. Uh-huh. And it's a great program. I mean, she doesn't realize that she's really doing martial arts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the trick. It's like when you do a class or something, you don't realize what you're doing, and you're like, it becomes fun, not working out.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
So, and Trevor, he's just, you know, he rocks with these kids. I mean, I've never seen someone that's so able to get in with these kids and give them instruction while still keeping it fun and laughing and joking. Matter of fact, I'm off on the side sometimes giggling myself at the things that he says. anyways, Trevor can kind of fill that in.
Yeah, Trevor, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, you want to be closer to the mic. Mm-hmm. And so you found the place okay finally, huh?
Well, I got the address like 5 seconds ago.
Oh, my God. Now, see, Art, he didn't tell me that part, but what did I say? I said, I bet you Art went to the old studio and didn't read my email fully.
Is that what happened?
You know, the good thing is I've known her long enough now to know that if something's going to happen, it's going to happen to me.
Right.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm not mad.
God.
You know what I'm talking about. It's all good. It's all good. No, I remember one day we were shooting a movie. Be here. I'm there like, where are you? I'm down in Orange County. Well, I thought we were shooting. Oh, no. We're not shooting today. Thank you. You remember that one?
Because you didn't read the email.
Obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Can we let Trevor talk?
But at our school, we do. I read emails. If you send it to me, I'll read it. I'll be there on time.
He is much better reading than I am.
You got the money on that.
No, yeah.
I'll take care of it professionally. I'll be there.
That's okay. We just recently, so Art, I guess, didn't know about it. But welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And so you run the martial arts studio. What's it called?
The name of the school is The Academy Mixed Martial Arts.
Just, okay.
I call it The Academy.
The Academy. Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good. The kids can remember that.
Yeah. I'm tweeting it so everyone can see it on the Twitter and Facebook in a minute.
Right. Mm-hmm. So most of the students are children or kids?
Yeah, our largest population is between the ages of 8 and 12.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
That's really where I specialize is with kids. That's why.
How did you decide to specialize in that age group?
I've been teaching karate for about 25 years.
Really?
And it seems like the people that are, you know, that group that's most committed are kids. You know,
adults, oh, really?
They always have excuses. Teenagers are about distractible like gnats. But kids, because of their parents, and they see that it's really important for them,
right?
They commit, and they are there for the long term. Most of my students... I've had them, or I've been working with them for over 4 years.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you were training Art's daughter and stuff, and you were going there and checking it out.
Over 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, because your daughter is not that young anymore, right?
She's 19 now.
Yeah,
but she had a, you know, when she was with them when she was little, we stayed friends over the years.
Oh, okay.
Just, so you know, life
friends.
In general.
Yeah.
And I ended up down in the valley. He's up in the valley, and. Mm-hmm. One day we kind of crossed paths and said, hey, we need to talk. So we sat and talked. And
sounds good. Yeah. So are you an instructor too, Al?
No, I'm not. He's the instructor.
So what do you do? You're just in the background.
I just bring the money.
I see.
That's
okay.
All.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. No, and actually, really, how I look at it is, I mean, you know, he's a very modest guy.
Right.
He's been all over the world training. He's taught all over, and when I say all over the world, I mean literally all over the world.
Right.
He's trained for the DEA. He's trained Homeland Security. I mean, you know, the guy is a no joke.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, with a guy like that, how can you lose? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And so I would imagine you were satisfied with the way your daughter learned the arts and all that stuff. So
And now it's my 12-year-old. At that time was probably, what, about a year old?
Whoa.
Yeah. So she's 12 and, you know, she's a vegan. Yeah. And, you know, she loves it. And, you know, more importantly, you know, I've always respected Trevor, very much so.
Right.
And he's a really good guy, and I love the way he teaches, and I like what his philosophies, you know.
Cool.
We're not a studio of belts, you know, like where people get a belt because they show up.
Right.
You know, like you're here 1 month, okay, now you're a blue belt, congratulations.
Yeah.
So you've got to accomplish something, achieve something in order to get your belt.
Yeah, you know,
I like
unfortunately,
that,
kids' karate's turned into, like, they call them McDojos or belt factories because as long as mom and dad, you know, put the money out, the kids keep progressing. And
right.
They don't really focus on the important things, which I believe are the core values of our country, you know, respect and honor and earning something.
Right. And that's usually involved with, in addition to the fighting, you teach them discipline and things like that as well.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't put a lot of weight in fighting. I mean, I'm going to use that vehicle because mixed martial arts are so big right now and they're on television, but... You know what? I stay on the core values of respect and basically you don't quit when you're tired. You quit when the job's done. You show, you know, you work hard and you earn what you get. And a lot of places use catchphrases like try your best.
Yeah.
And what they mean is, mom and dad keep paying, or we'll keep slapping belts on you, and I don't do that. The kids have to earn them with me.
Right.
And they learn life lessons, you know, when they don't get what they want, and they realize, you know, I've got to earn this.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, you know, because parents tend to really spoil the kids and give them everything they want, and the kids grow up with no respect, you know. So I see where that comes in, because, my kids, when they were younger, they were taking martial arts and stuff, and I remember watching them, and the instructors really focusing on their behavior, on their attitude, and things like that as well. So it's not just the fighting part of it at all.
You know, the fighting's probably the smallest part we
really
do.
Really? Wow.
I mean, our whole society has turned to that where, right. I mean, when I was a kid, when you went to any kind of sporting event, first place, might got a medal. Second place, got a pat on the back. And third place, got recognized. And all the other kids went home.
Yeah.
And nowadays, your kids get trophies for participating.
Right.
And what are we teaching our children?
Right. We don't need to win.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
It doesn't matter who wins.
So if you show up to a job interview, you've got the job. That's not what happens.
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're creating a class of children. We're creating a whole class where, if I don't get it, I'm just going to go home and mom and dad will take care of me.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, hopefully with our economy that'll stand, because parents are going to have to raise their kids till they're 30 or 40 if they don't learn that they're responsible for their actions and what they do.
Right.
And so that's really what we try to garner. The fighting, not at all. The
not
kids love
all.
That. They love hitting bags. They love wrestling.
Right.
And we teach some moves that are, you know, relatively dangerous. It is martial arts. We're not, you know, we're not teaching crocheting. So, you learn to punch somebody in the face, but
you gotta be active.
We put them in really protective gear, and the kids love it. And psychology. My background is in psychology, and I'm actually a social worker by trade.
Oh,
so,
wow.
That's
you know,
great.
The fighting and things like that.
Right.
That came because as a hobby.
Right.
But you know, I worked as a assistant social worker in McKinley Children's Center for years and years, intake for. You know, a lot of, you know, foster children. And so I really learned how to work with kids and to get their trust and to get their respect. And I take that into the school with all the kids.
Right. Yeah. Brigitta, would you just sign the paper for the guy
yeah.
with the water? Because I don't want to leave here. Just give him a signature. What a way to run a show.
Love
right?
that.
Yeah. It's because usually our engineer is here early, but today he's running a little bit behind. So this is funny. Anyway, thank you. We just ordered like 2 tons of water bottles.
Saw
so we
that.
Don't because you know what I used to do is go to Costco and just pick up like 8 or something.
Right.
And you have to carry them and then you have to carry them up here and
right.
stuff. And I thought, what the hell, you know, enough of that. So we ordered like 40 40 boxes, pallets, whatever.
I saw the pallet. I was like, wow.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of water.
Yeah, it's a lot of water. But people go through water here like it's nothing. You know?
It's true.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Trevor. So 25 years ago, you got into martial arts. Is that when it happened?
Yeah. Gosh.
Get a little closer.
Or did
to
you grow up as a kid? Did you ever do like the classes?
Well, you know, I'm from Idaho, and I'm very
humble. I'm not the hoe. You were the hoe.
Yeah. I'm kidding. You've heard that joke too, right?
I don't know. I had to say it.
I'm not saying any comment.
But I was from a really humble background. We were farmers, and we didn't have a lot of money. And I ran for a high school office, and I lost.
Oh, wow.
And my dad said, "Look, you know," he could tell that was a time in my life when I was like 14, 15. He felt like I might turn to other things, and we were a very religious community as well. And he said, "Look, you know, we might be able to." I remember it was $25 a month. He said, "We might be able to eke out $25 a month if you want to try this karate stuff." This
Aww.
He called it karate fu or whatever.
Karate fu.
And he put me in it, and it was great for me because I trained with a guy that just got back from Vietnam, and he kind of left part of his mind there, so he was a little cuckoo.
Yeah.
He was mean as all day long.
Really?
It's kind of like the real Karate Kid.
Yeah, he was really into corporal punishment, you know, slapped us. I mean,
wow.
he had a Marine's ring. He'd roll around and he'd crack us on the back of the head.
And
so, you know, at a very young age, I learned that, and he treated us just like the military. If you were standing in a group and somebody talked, the whole group dropped for push-ups. And so, you know, but it really taught me how not to treat people, because I remembered I didn't like that.
Right.
And then I was right on the age of, I was a big 14-year-old, so they put me in adult class. So every time it was sparring, I got my butt kicked.
Really?
I
mean,
but I learned those lessons at a young age that, you know, it took 30 minutes to drive to the school. And I remember the days we sparred, I would be car sick, kept telling my dad, you know, I just don't want to go tonight. My arm hurts. My dad said, look, if you don't go, we're not going to pay anymore.
Right.
And so I learned a lot of lessons in that. And I appreciate the instruction. Even though he was kind of a not the best instructor,
right.
I learned that I would never treat anybody like that.
Right.
But I knew how much I
right.
loved the martial arts, and I was willing to go through all that to get to that point.
Right.
And so when I got into college, I was studying psychology, And I just got back from Mexico. I lived in Mexico for 2 years as a missionary.
Oh, wow.
And so,
how awesome is that?
How different from what you do now. But, I mean, obviously, you like helping people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're involved with that. You have compassion and everything. So how was the time in Mexico? What did exactly
It was amazing. I was a Mormon missionary knocking on doors.
Really?
some people call this the God Squad. You know, white shirt and tie. You see
them
everywhere.
Yeah, I see them. Yep.
Really good guys. I was one of them. Yeah. I actually
She doesn't open her door to them either. That's what I wanted to say.
As long as you don't throw things out the door, we're good. So.
We're good. You know, the worst was Jehovah's Witness, though. They were the ones that are, like, really annoying.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Mormons, I always really respect it because you guys are really genuinely like, I have a lot of Mormon friends, and, like, they are just such good people.
Right.
Like, even the convention that I just worked, it was a dental convention, it was all Mormon guys. And I had a blast because they were so fun. They were so genuine. They were so nice.
The polite.
And absolutely. And very respectful. It's not like you're staring, you know, you're talking in my chest the whole time, like other places.
Is that the blind convention or the, never mind, sorry.
But it was, I mean, it was great. And a lot of my, I mean, I live in Utah. All my good friends live over there. But yeah, I mean, I do have a respect for the Mormon. You know, Mormon people.
Right. Cult, like, no, religion, absolutely. I mean, they're known as very good people.
They are just amazing people.
I think the way you brought up and stuff, you know. So, but how do you end up in Idaho? I thought Mormons are only in Utah, no?
No, you know.
they get out sometimes.
They're only in Utah. Come on.
It's like Mexicans. We're only in Mexico.
I'm kidding.
The virus passed to Idaho, and it's in Arizona, too.
Yeah.
No, but, Italians
are only in Jersey, and I'm right here.
They are. I'm in Jersey. Go on.
But, no, I was raised that way, so it was just, once again, it's a service. It's, you know, the tenets of the religion, which are most dear to me, and I'm not really practicing right now, but... The tenants are family. They're about service, about treating other people how you'd like to be treated.
Right.
You know, first and foremost, being a good husband, then being a good father, those kind of things.
Right.
So it fit right in. When I was going to college, I thought I'd be a psychologist.
Uh-huh.
And I opened a karate school to help pay the bills of school. And I found out that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to do that, so I continued to, you know, get my degree. But I always believed in my heart I would be a martial artist. I'd teach that somehow.
Yeah, people have a calling, you know. And sometimes, you know, you go to school and stuff. Although psychology, I can see, helps you a lot in what you do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, many people go to college and they end up not using what they learned.
We talked about that yesterday, too.
You know, it's like... Because people, I think when you're young, you don't really know what you want to get into yet, you know. And then you grow up, you discover new things, especially in college, you know. And then you go, you know. So you just go and you follow your heart and your dream, you know. So, Art, tell us a little bit about yourself. You guys started the Bounty Wars. That never went anywhere,
No, they did a bit of that and they stopped. And there was some kind of fight over the show that was in Europe. I mean... You know, the thing about Hollywood, you know, you got to love them.
Yeah.
You know, they give you more strokes than Wimbledon. You know what I'm saying?
This is why
I mean, her and I did a show.
Yeah.
I've done a few shows. I mean, listen, this is how I look at it now. They call me great. Okay, great. I mean, there's no excitement to it. I mean, how many actors are there in L.A. County?
Right.
I mean, I got to be on a TV.
Yeah,
I got
a TV show.
You know what? It was good for me. I got paid. Right. It was good. Whether it lasted one day or 1 week or whatever, it's fine. It was good. But since then, you know, I've been really busy with the martial arts studio. I got a car dealership that I'm going to be opening up pretty soon.
Uh-huh. You're getting back into that?
Yeah. I took up tennis about 4 months ago. I used to play a lot of tennis. And by coincidence, my instructor... kind of a wealthy guy, says, hey, I got this car lot on Roscoe. You know anything about the car business? I'm like, yeah, a little bit. I spent maybe 30 years of my stupid life in it. And now, you know, we're putting it together. And, you know, I've just been busy. But the greatest thing about doing this with Trevor, really, more importantly, is the fact that you get to contribute something. You know, you get to see these kids. You get to see the program.
Yeah, you're really helping with kids.
Yeah, and we're growing. Right, you know, we're in different schools now. Mm-hmm. This summer he's going to be at Chaminade. In about 2 weeks, we're in Woodland Hills Academy, I think. 2 weeks from Woodland Hills Academy. Right now, honestly, obesity is,
it's
a big thing. I mean, you know, your kids, I mean, the way they feed you and the food that people are eating, I mean, and my daughter included, I mean, I have two daughters. I had one daughter had to get a gastric bypass, Sophia.
Oh, my
She's
gosh.
Lost like 75 pounds, thank God. She wouldn't even recognize her.
Wow.
And then my daughter, Carmen, she's the last of the Mohicans in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a big girl. And, you know, I guess I'm at fault. I don't know who's at fault. But
it's not really your fault. I find it that, I mean, here's the thing. Like, busy lives. And that's the thing. And so people don't think about it like, oh, there's a McDonald's, there's a Taco Bell, I'm so busy, I've had a long day, I've worked all day, yeah, I don't have time to cook. And then you just drive through, and then but the drive-throughs are adding up,
yeah, right,
you know, and it's like just quick fixes,
yeah,
is kind of the thing. And of course that takes a toll over time. And then also you're so busy too that, or maybe they're so tired or whatever after school that, you know, when I was growing up, I was in gymnastics, I was in, you know, I did karate for a little bit, I did acting, I mean, I was in everything, but I'm like the kid that's climbing up the walls, like, oh my yeah, God, give me something to do.
I can't believe that, can you?
No, not at all.
But a lot of kids aren't anymore, like, they're not there in after school programs, but they've taken away the art on the after school programs, they're taking away gym, PE, in a lot of, in schools, and it's like, we just don't really have it anymore as much. So when you're eating more fast food, and you're taking away, you know, PE, from what used to be included in school, what's happening now?
Yeah,
well, it's
yeah,
also, there's another thing that's really interesting that's happening in our culture is that people use food for enjoyment, to relieve pain, for reward, and we pass it on to our kids. You're bummed, you have a bucket of ice cream. You just got an A, you get a scoop of ice cream.
It's true. People soothe themselves with food.
It's turned into, it's the fix-all. It's not only just for to relieve pain, it's to reward yourself, it's to pat yourself on the back. It's the biggest problem in our culture right now. I love what Michelle Obama is doing with, that's why we've opened our fitness classes. We're going to go a step further than that. You know, I want the kids to reward themselves with push-ups.
Right.
You know, I can do more. I want to, you know, I've got some little kids that we've seen some remarkable changes.
Tell about the one student.
Well, we had one student that was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes 2 months ago, and we started our fitness class, and that's not why we started, but we started, he took it. All the symptoms are gone.
Yeah. Really?
His clothes fit better. Yeah. He looks amazing. When he walks in the class, and you know, as a karate instructor, I'm big into praise. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in punishment. I believe, you know, let's just ignore the behavior or get rid of it, but let's not punish it and give it attention, because then it turns into another problem. But I can't help but tell him how great he looks in his clothes. He told me 2 days ago, 3 days ago, he said, yesterday was the first time I've taken my shirt off at the beach, and I liked it.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, you know what? We're going someplace with this.
Right.
It's not just a fix-all. And this isn't about belts or anything. This is about a kid coming in, sweating, getting the sweat equity on, figuring out what he's doing, learning for himself. And hopefully he'll learn these lessons at 12, and he won't be on a reality series, excuse me, in 20 years, where we all look at it and go, oh my God, what happened to this child?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like anybody. I watch The Biggest Loser. It's like a train wreck.
Yeah.
At first, you look at these people, and you're like, oh my God. And these kids, I mean, you go, how did they ever get there?
Right.
And you can blame whoever you want, but it's about teaching people behaviors, or about teaching them alternatives to what the norm is.
Right. No, I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, it's like, at what point do you look in the mirror and you say, you know what, I weigh way too much, you know, and it
right
doesn't
now
happen. I don't think that process happens.
Well, I don't think it happens, and I also think, I mean, the old joke: if you want to look skinny, hang out with fat people.
Yeah.
These people, it's a group. It's so as long as you're not the biggest in your group. I'm in my family.
Really?
And I've got this with some of my family members who I love. I'm not as fat as so and so.
Right. So it's like acceptable.
Well, it's by comparison.
Yeah.
Right.
Once again, I'm not as stupid as that person. Or You have a dirty mouth. I don't talk as dirty as he does.
Right.
Or you know, you drink too much. I don't drink as much as that person. We're not, once again, we're in another culture where is a culture of comparison. Instead of saying, look, are you the best you can be? Are you 5 pounds heavier than you should be? Do you feel comfortable? You know, those are the kind of things. And I think that with this kind of class, we force the kids to reflect on that and say, look, are you as strong as you could be? Can you do those push-ups? Can you do that? And in a loving way, can you? And the thing is, the kids, and One thing that a truly gifted teacher does, and I've noticed this my whole life as I've really learned from people that I respect, is that they turn the hard work into either a challenge which you endear to, or a game which is fun.
Right.
If they can disguise it, and once again, the food industry's done this wonderfully. They disguise all those calories looking like a beautiful sponge cake, and actually it's going right to your hips. If we can take these drills and exercises and make it fun for the kids, they'll go home and do it.
Yeah.
You know, the kids have now, some of the kids say, my dad just bought me a pair of 5 pound weights at TJ Maxx, or my dad just bought me a pair of stretch cables I can use on my own. Or, you know, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear a kid's working out in his home. You know, before I go to bed, and I just try to do 10 push-ups.
Yeah.
You know, one of these kids, when they first started, they couldn't have done a pull-up if I pushed them up.
Really?
And now they're doing 3 pull-ups. At the age of 10 years old, doing 3 pull-ups.
That's so great.
It's sickening. It's amazing how incredible their bodies are. And they're doing now is they're turning into that. You know, 2 years ago I had a dumpy kid come in, sweet kid, but just a pushover. You could tell he's a bully magnet. I mean, if I you see a kid, you just want to walk up and say, aww, you're a coward and I want to slap you, because he just looks like that.
Right.
And he looked timid. And,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's natural for someone like that to come to your school.
Sometimes.
Right?
Not all the time.
He didn't want to come, and his mom came and said, you got to take him. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you now, 2 years later, if you came in now, he looks, we call him
the machine.
Yeah, he's maybe.
He's the machine.
I'd say probably 8 or 9% body fat.
Yeah.
He is incredible shape. He does the extra. So when I say stop, he'll go for 5 or 6 seconds longer. Uh-huh. When I ask for 10 push-ups, aww, he does 12. Wow. And if he's not doing that, he goes next to the person that doesn't work the hardest, and he goes over and says, come on, you can give me 2 more. Wow. He's turned into that kind of kid in 2 years where – and once again, I can't take – you know, no one can pat me on the back for that, because it was in him.
Right.
He just had to find where it was.
Yeah.
But now look at him.
So incredible.
You're a guy. You bring it out in them, you know, and that's good.
I will say that, you know, it's funny. When I go to a class, which I haven't been able to because I've been injured for so long, and I'm just starting to.
Again?
But when I – the motorcycle crashed.
Oh, yeah.
I crashed a bike in September, and I'm still having issues with my ankle. That's horrible. My wrist is whatever. But anyway, I started going back. But I was that person in class where I like going to an all-guy class. Like, I used to go to, like, UFC training classes because it's pushing me. Like, I have to find the toughest person in class. And I'm like, even if you're way bigger than me, which clearly you are way stronger than I am, I'm like, well, if you're doing it, I'm doing it. You know, and I have to be able to, like, do it too. And that was my thing. Like, I always like going to a class where it's – I don't want a bunch of wusses in the classroom because then I'm like –
you like it to be competitive.
I need to, because I feel like I need to get there and I need to do it too, or I need to do it better.
Right.
Or if I'm in a class where it's like, you know, mostly guys and girls, I have to be faster if we're running, like the sprints. Oh, I'm faster. Like, I have to be. And it is my goal. I will go every day until I beat you or you or, you know what I mean? Like, I have to do it. And then it becomes like, okay, cool, I did it. Sweet. You know, and then it's like, it's just, I know it's stupid, but it's like I have to be better than everyone in that sense, but it keeps... You know, I don't know. It's interesting. So I always have a hard time finding classes because some of them are just, they're just like dopey, you know? I don't know. So I like for your class.
Yeah, I think a lot of places dummy down because it's about economics. And
right.
I mean, Art, this is a wonderful thing we have in our relationship because he comes from that economic standpoint of, look, you know, let's get this going. Let's get the money going.
Right.
I say, look, we can't compromise the integrity of what we have here.
Right.
I don't want everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds elitist. But it's not.
Right.
I want people that will come and commit themselves, and I believe that if we garner that, if we make it instead of, because a lot of people, ironically, everything that you just said is not the main thing. Is not the main idea in America.
Right.
And most people in our culture go, you know, as long as I can hang with the group, I'm good. You know, as long as
I have to be better than everybody.
Nobody, you know, I'm in the middle of the pack, and that's good enough because everybody in this group's going to get a trophy, and so I'm good. But I believe that there's that part of you in everybody that needs to be to pull that out of them. And sometimes it's painful, and it doesn't have to. I don't think it's ever going to be pulled out militarily. Well, you do it, or I will kick you.
Right.
It's got to be. Look, inside of you, there's somebody that is a superstar. It's whatever you want to be times 10. It's an incredible human being. It's muscles and it's kindness and it's all the things that make us good. We just got to find it. You got to believe it, and we got to develop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that you know, we are pretty successful and we'll be more successful. I just you know, my feeling is that if you teach the lowest common denominator, you beat yourself. And our schools are doing everywhere we go, they're lowering the standards so everybody can get on the bus.
Yeah.
And we've got to stop that somewhere, or we're not gonna be on the cutting edge where we were or where we need to be.
Gotta raise the bar a little bit, you know. I mean, you can't have everybody. Yeah. You know,
I agree.
It's unfortunate, but I know, like, you know, when my son was young and stuff, they'd play soccer. It's like, no, it doesn't matter who wins, you know, nobody wins type of a thing, or everybody wins.
I have to win, or I'm not playing.
Right, like, exactly. You know?
What happens is these kids go through their lives and they get trophy for doing whatever, and then they get into some kind of club outfit where they don't, and then the parents fight in the stands.
Right.
It's a level of idiotics that
idiocracy.
I can't even... Two fathers punching each other over 2 5-year-olds playing soccer.
It's ridiculous.
It's like dying of alcoholism. You're so stupid, you can't even stop drinking.
And this is why we have reality shows on this.
Exactly.
And like Honey Boo Boo with the Girl Scout thing. Yeah, I know. I want to throw up when I want to
qualify too, though. I mean, if it wasn't for Art and people that look at the economics, people like me are going to be teaching in their garage because I can't. I'm so focused on... I want that kid to be his best, and I'm one kid at a time, and I need someone like Art to say, look, lift up. Look, there's a lot of people. We need to touch them all. Yeah. And there's a way we can make this work. And it's a process. I mean, it's such a process. I mean, every day I give myself like self hypnosis. There's a bigger picture.
The good news is every once in a while night he'll call me after a few beers and he won't shut up. It's awesome. Well, we can do this. I know. I agree. No, you don't understand. We can do this. Yes, I do agree with you. No, you don't understand what I'm trying to do. Okay. But no, you know, and he's a modest guy. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy's resume is. Yeah. Unbelievable. As a matter of fact, we have tell them who we've got coming in Friday.
Yeah, this Friday, my mentor in the martial arts is a gentleman named Dave Hebler, and he was Elvis Presley's personal bodyguard.
Oh wow!
For many years
until
right before Elvis passed away, when he went through all the nuttiness and his dad started firing everybody, and he would have fired his wife who just had been married, but they were firing everybody. Dave left at that time, but Dave was he's one of the true martial art pioneers because he not only learned it. But then he guarded the king.
Yeah.
Wow. So he had to use it.
And obviously, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
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 He must be pretty old.
In his 70s,
right?
And he's still packs going, a pop.
Still pumping away.
He's got you can feel him. When he walks in a room, you can feel there's an energy that's changed. I mean, it's
that's
not like
interesting.
He can't touch you and make you fall down.
Right.
But you can feel the attitude, and you can feel like, if I was going to have to, if I had to deal with this guy, I'd have to put him down. He's not going to go quietly. We're not going to negotiate. And, first off, who wants to beat up a 75-year-old guy first off?
Right. Right.
Who kicks your ass? Who wants to fight that guy?
But he's, he's one of the greats. And I've had a few opportunities where, to help me, where I feel I've had those opportunities to turn him around and use that to help kids. In 2010, I trained James Toney for his fight against Randy Couture in UFC 118.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
And James, we didn't have the success we wanted, but the exposure and the opportunity I had to meet other trainers and to get involved in the UFC, which is without a doubt, is the best mixed martial art organization.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dana White is the P.T. Barnum of our time. He can promote. That guy, he could sell ice to Eskimos. He has got, and he's got such a vision that just being involved in that for, for 4 months, it was just like night and day. We were working 24 hours a day. And like I said, it didn't turn out how we wanted, but once again, that was I feel like that was another step where I could use those contacts and that experience to turn around and help kids and do what we do best is you can fighting doesn't solve anything in a cage. I mean, one person loses and there's money paid out, and then one person wins and they move on. But if we can touch our kids, we can change society, and that's where I want to put my energy. That's where I want to go.
That's amazing, and I think that's very rewarding as well, because money you can make anywhere, but to make a difference like this in kids' lives, I think, is amazing, so
that's
pretty cool.
I think it's absolutely huge, and plus, nowadays, there's so much more focus on, the bullying that's going on and whatnot.
Out of control.
And I will say, when I was younger, and I was quiet, now I don't shut up, clearly, but I was the quiet one, and I was the one always picked on, my lunch was always stolen, and I would just sit there and cry, and I would just be like, I can't, I just didn't understand why.
Right.
And one day my dad said to me, which is not something you tell a five-year-old at the time, but it's like, they hit you, you hit them back harder and harder, bite them, do whatever you care, I don't care, I'm gonna show you. And he took me one day and showed me how to punch, and I had no idea what I was doing, and he's like, they take your lunchbox, smack them in the head with the lunchbox. And I'd be like, I can't. And he'd be like, so one day he gets a phone call because what did I do? They went to take my lunchbox or my book bag, and then I smacked him upside the head with the lunchbox. I think the kid was bleeding or something on the bus. And of course, I go to the principal's office, and I'm like the quiet girl. I'll just sit there, and I'm like, I don't see anything. I look around, And my dad's like, they get called in, and they're like, your child did this. And my dad goes, good. Now, why did you? He goes, wait. Why did you do it? And he goes, because he took my book bag and this. And they go, and this has been happening for a long time. Good, I'm glad you did. She's not punished. Carry on. And they're like, what? And so we tried to find a martial arts studio and teach me okay, this is what you got to do.
Right.
Okay. I just was so scared of everybody and everything. Sure, take my lunch. All right.
She's still that quiet, calm little girl, don't you think?
Yeah, I am. I'm created a monster. Literally.
Well, bullying is taking on a whole new face,
right,
too. What we see now with bullying is there's two major effects. And once again, our society doesn't want to look at it. Kids now, it's popular to hurt yourself, to cut yourself, attempt and threaten suicide.
Right.
So bullying gives them an opportunity. Or we have some kids that are mentally unstable. They can't handle the bullying. So what do? They go get dad's gun and they start shooting people. And then an innocent bystander who has nothing to do with anything, a teacher who's employed to protect kid, protects a child and gets shot because this other kid was bullied. And right. You don't see the people that bullied him until, and I'm not saying what they do is correct. It's terrible and it's heinous. But we don't see the kids bullying him until he couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
Until he was on the floor crying, when he was in his bedroom going, I can't go to school tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to make him pay.
Yeah.
If you don't stop bullying and we don't teach these kids self-esteem, right. When someone bullies you, like, look, you're not even worth my time, get away from me. And I don't think every bullying incident needs, there's times when they need to end
right.
with an altercation. Most of the time, you know, I teach my kids, look, if somebody picks on you, give them a reason not to and let them understand there's more kids on the playground. Pick on them. They're going to be easier because I can't change the world. Most of the world won't listen. And we do it one day at a time, one person at a time. Look people in the eye. You know, once again, that magnet where a sweet little girl who's just kind, someone says, oh, she's kind. They mix it up with weakness. I'm going to, you know, and now that kid's got a little Barbie scar in his skull after she cracked him with the.
Right.
So, you know, once in a while, that's gonna work. But it's, once again, the extremes we see with bullying and with overweightness and stuff like that, we've got to get to a point in our society where we say, look, we've got to address this issue. Much like the economy, you wait too long, things crash.
Right.
You know, kids get so obese that they get injuries and they turn into, they're going to suck on our society. They're going to have to get welfare and disability because they can't afford to know who's going to hire them.
That's true.
I mean, they truly have faces for radio. I mean, you don't want to watch that on TV.
In a way, but you're absolutely right. Like, that's the thing. Like, why... It just irritates me how, you know, if you go to like Canada or Europe even, everyone's healthier. And it's like, especially in Canada, like you don't have fast foods on every freaking corner. You don't have, for example, now they accept your EBT, which is
that's
scary. Every fast food place.
Food stamps, yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
why
scary.
They shouldn't be accepted at fast food places. It should just be, you know, like grocery stores for actual food.
Right.
Instead, we're feeding people and we're making them get heavier and heavier and heavier, taking away these PE programs. It's just, you're right, it's a vicious cycle right now. And we are going to be supporting them in the end on more welfare and more issues later on. You brought up a perfect point.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we stop that? By putting PE back into schools, by, you know, I think, and also like, there's no more, they're taking away counselors. They're cutting back on a lot of like, not that I went to my school counselor when I was younger, but, you know, there should be something that, I don't know.
You know, a few years ago, I lose track of time and media, but all these athletes and singers and actors and stuff like that, they have these incredible bodies, most of them. Some of them are fat and terrible, but they have these incredible bodies. But what they push is clothing lines and attitudes.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be gangsta. But then a few years ago, Usher put out a video on a Pilates ball how to get his abs because he had these incredible abs. For a while, every kid I knew had a Pilates ball at their house, and they were trying to get abs like Usher. That's what we need to do is take our athletes and take our superstars and say, don't promote a clothing line. Promote healthy foods. Promote healthy life. But once again, if
all about the money.
Exactly. If our biggest stars got up and said, look, you can be like me. I do 10 push-ups a morning. They're not going to do that because that doesn't put money in their bank account.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it puts money in their bank account. And I was hoping this would change with social media because with social media, so many things can explode.
Right. Right.
But instead of buy my tennis shoes or buy my hats, don't worry about what you're covering up with those things. Just buy my clothes. And if we had our superstars and our athletes take that attitude and say, look, this is who you could be.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to follow me. Just do what I do and you'll get what I got. You might even be better than me.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, once again, it's a scary scenario. It's a vicious cycle that we're turning into a society of excuses and the lowest common denominator.
Right.
And that's where a lot of karate schools, I'm sad to say, their bottom line is money.
Yeah.
You come in, you pay. And I understand. You know, I know Art's rubbing his head going, God, you got to get some of this in you, man. Because, you know, good intentions don't pay the bills.
Right.
But what happens is you get 10 kid karate schools, and you walk in and you say, okay, for a whatever belt you want to put on this child, yellow, whatever citrus color you want on this kid, what do they have to know? 9 out of 10 schools couldn't give you 3 requirements. They couldn't say, well, they need to do a front kick, a reverse punch. They'd say, well, they got to come in and try their best and show good respect. Which are two very subjective things.
Right.
That, but once again, and how do you define their best? Go in their back office and see how much mom and dad are paying a month. And if they got their credit card on file and it's getting hit every time they walk through that door. And that's what's unfortunate. And that's that's what I think is another great travesty is we've turned even commercial there. That's why I make Dojo. It's easy, it's fast, it's quick, and your kid gets the same prize that this other kid got because they showed up at the door.
Right. Which doesn't really promote competitiveness and effort and
That's a swear word in our society now. You use the word compete, most parents, oh my God, I wouldn't want my child to lose at anything.
Really?
When do they start losing?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the greatest things I've learned in my whole life were through loss and failure.
Yeah.
I failed at something. I sat down and said, okay, maybe this isn't for me. Or, you know what? I didn't practice at all. I mean, my first...
The first F I got was in college.
Yeah. And it was an accounting class. Because in high school, they just shove you all through. Just get through. Get through.
Oh, not me. But I will say that it's one thing that my parents did do right is the competitiveness. Like, we would compete, and it was always a competition. And it's like, well, you got this? Well, then you get... But they would be like, oh, well, if you get this, then... You know, it would be with ice cream when I was younger. And I wasn't allowed to have sweets because I was so hyper. But I would get rewarded with ice cream if I got straight A's or money. And then this money would get towards, you know, a prize of what I wanted to go or go, you know, pick out this or pick out that. But it is funny because my sister was on Team USA for figure skating. So talk about competition. Like, that was our household growing up in this. But I think it really is on the parents and how you raise your kids. And it's just changed because parents aren't there as much as I think, you know, maybe when we were growing up or what. I'm saying that my dad was never there, but working.
I think, you know, we try to promote that too. If you can't spend as much time with your children as you can, that doesn't mean they're bad parents. I mean, in our society, in our economic status, some people have to work. And so we want to provide those parents with, instead of paying so much to have your kid go to daycare, send them a place where we can install goals and values and help them be good parents.
Exactly.
Tell us what you need.
The streets,
we'll give it to you. I mean,
For sure. Right.
I feel what you're saying. I was the youngest of seven kids, one of those big Mormon families. We had to compete to eat.
Yeah.
And we were so poor. I mean, you know, a Twinkie in my house lasted like 30 seconds, and it was always the biggest kid, and it was like, is it a zoo with an ape, you know, holding everybody back. And so, for those reasons, we didn't have those things. But in today's society, we almost see where a parent can even show love. Like, God, Dad loves you so much. Let's go to McDonald's and have a McDonald's moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, let's go on a walk.
Right.
Let's go jogging together. Let's go play tennis. I don't like tennis, but I like you, and I think you like me. We might like it. Let's go play a little catch
try
in the
new
backyard.
Things. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Break a sweat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're running out of time, so
let's give the location.
Give the location, phone number,
and our email.
Yeah, our website is academykarate.com.
Okay.
All lowercase. And that's, you know, going to show a flavor of everything, and it has our schedules and everything. We're at 22935 Ventura Boulevard up in Woodland Hills, Suite 231. They just opened up a Hugo's Tacos there, so everybody knows us. We're right above Hugo's, and the windows are all made up and stuff, and Art's put up some beautiful signs, so we're easy to see if you get to Hugo's. Like I said, we've been in business for a couple years. My phone number is 818-577-0157.
Awesome.
And if I don't answer, it's because I'm on the floor teaching kids, but I call people back immediately. On the website, there are emails you can send to myself, Art, or one of our administrators, Katie, and you can contact us. You know, I'm more of a proof of the pudding's in the eating, so I like people to come in and try it.
Right.
And I love capitalism. I think that you should try every place.
Right.
Because every place you go besides me is going to convince you more why you should come to me.
Right.
And I don't say that because I'm arrogant. I mean, once again, it's like you. I hear this all the time at karate. Well, you think you could kick that guy's butt? Well, it's like going to a mechanic and saying, you think you could fix my car? And if he says, well, you're cocky. You know, I work with kids, and so I feel comfortable saying, look, I can provide them with a quality education in the martial arts and help them be better people.
Right.
And you know, all those things. And so, you know, I really encourage people to try all the schools in the area.
Definitely.
You'll end up with us, and come on in and give it a shot.
And you seem trustworthy and everything. I would definitely leave my kids with you to get some discipline and stuff. So thank you so much, Trevor.
Thank you.
Art,
thank you so much
for joining us. Brigetta, thank you.
Yes.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.